Book 3, 7, Deadly Conspiracies. Through the time I have been on this journey as an author, I have come across many people fascinated by conspiracies that are full of lies and deceit. These topics seem to interest these individuals so much they would spend hours speaking and listening to these conspiracies. I have taken the time to put together information gathered by different random people I have heard and studied over the years whose names I will keep anonymous that will help put an end to these deadly conspiracies. Follow me in this section of the Seventh Seal. King John. Chapter 1, The Flat Earth. Many individuals often cite NASA when discussing the flat and round Earth theories, saying, "Do you trust NASA?" However, it is important to note that the sun lies at the center of this particular solar system, as agreed upon by seven premier space agencies. These include NASA, the Russian Federation Space Agency, RFSA, the European Space Agency, ESA, the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO, the China National Space Administration, CNSA, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, and the Space Studies Institute in California, SSI. All seven acknowledge the solar system's central star. Flat earthers contend that the world has collectively lied to us about something that would fundamentally alter all perception of the universe. This is a deliberate ploy meant to sow confusion. The Bible claims that God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33, let us take that as our starting point. One aspect to explore is the firmament. Certain individuals who are self-reportedly knowledgeable about the Bible have compromised their faiths by adhering to the flat earth concept. They contend this on account of the firmament discussed in Genesis 1 verse 6. The English word is firmament, while the original Hebrew text employs the term rakia, rakia H7549 in the Hebrew concordance. Rakia refers to extended surface, not a flat plane. Its meaning suggests a support of the gaseous form of water, or the troposphere, situated above the Earth's crust. This name is derived from the troposphere's spherical shape and its encirclement of the Earth. The troposphere is not only the point at which the Earth's crust is located, but it is also surrounded by other spheres, the stratosphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, and exosphere. These spheres collectively comprise the firmament and are expected to provide support to gases or water in their gaseous form or radiation. The stratosphere, which constitutes the beginning of gaseous organisms or vapors beyond the Earth, is approximately 33,000 feet above the ground. It is highly unlikely that the sun dovetails so distinctly with the Earth. Aircraft fly to an altitude of roughly 15,000 feet, and there is still no sun in sight. The sun is exterior to the atmosphere in the realm of the heavens and the Earth that were created together. Consequently, the Earth's atmosphere represents everything from the crust to the exosphere. The sun and moon must have been formed with the rest of the heavens, as shown in Genesis 1 verse 16, in which God places the sun and moon in specific positions within the firmament or heaven. It is sometimes inferred by some persons that Isaiah 11 verse 12 is alluding to the corners of the earth, but this is incorrect. The verse speaks of four points, north, west, south, and east, that correspond to the cross. These directions are unconnected with the earth's shape. The people of the Bible were motivated by God to write these scriptures, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. As a result, they remained constrained by the limits of their earthbound consciousness. Humans have access to a single mind, but they are limited regarding the information available to them. The human race has been gradually evolving to acquire knowledge and understanding that help us develop closer to a complete understanding of God. We live in a new era where we have started realizing the significance of scientific and intellectual discovery, and knowledge has increasingly become accessible to every individual. As humans, we share a single consciousness, which limits our access to information. As we progress in our evolution as a species, we acquire knowledge and insight that helps us draw closer to a full understanding of God. We are currently living in a time where we have made significant strides, and we know much more than ever before. All in all, it is safe to say that people lacked knowledge of the Earth's appearance until the Apollo program. The Apollo 11 mission brought back samples from the moon that could not have been obtained on Earth or manufactured artificially. This alone proves that the United States has indeed landed on the moon, and the conspiracy theories surrounding it are nothing more than a deliberate attempt to cause confusion and division among individuals and the government. Our world has seasons, but why is this so? According to scientists worldwide, it is because the Earth rotates on its axis to produce night and day and also orbits the Sun in an elliptical orbit that takes around 365.25 days to complete. This orbit's tilt is responsible for the seasons we experience. Due to the Earth being at varying distances from the Sun throughout the year, approximately 94 million miles separate us, on average. In distant history, Greek astronomer Aristarchus of Samos is famously known for being the first person to measure the distance to the Sun. He used the Moon's phases to determine the Sun and Moon sizes and distances. According to his ideas, when half of the Moon is visible during the Earth's night, Earth's and the Moon's centers create a heaven line that forms a 90-degree angle with another line that runs through the Sun's center all the way to the Moon's center. Using trigonometry, Aristarchus was able to determine the triangle's hypotenuse. This shows the equation that he used. Aristarchus' original equation was flawed, which modern-day scientists have since perfected. We now know that the Sun is positioned over 94 million miles from Earth and have precise knowledge of its size. Aristarchus and Aristotle have played a pivotal role in developing our current understanding of the world through logical analysis, and we have the Catholic Church to blame for their initial repression of Galileo's assertion that the Earth revolves around the Sun. The notion that Earth is flat, square-shaped, and unique in the universe is still propagated by a few individuals and is patently absurd. Lying about such an insignificant detail, even if it were true, would be unnecessary and questionable. If the Earth were anything but mostly spherical, everything we know would become meaningless, and we would be left with chaos. Such a situation would only serve Satan's interest in misleading the world. Some individuals contend that the Earth is not completely flat, but in any case, the Sun, considering its size and heat, cannot be within the Earth's atmosphere. It constitutes 99.8% of our galaxy, and the universe is far more extensive than we can fathom. The tremendous size of the Sun produces a gravitational pull on all other planets, and each planet has its gravity that maintains order and position, resulting in a natural cycle among celestial bodies. Flat Earthers reject this concept and deny the existence of gravity. They insist that magnetic declination, describing changes in the direction of magnetic fields at locations across the Earth, is a suitable explanation, but this notion is entirely baseless. Another nonsensical argument purported by flat earthers is the falsehood that the distance traversed by a pilot en route to a destination is subject to variation as a result of flight patterns. This claim is purely absurd. Distance, a scalar quantity, does not undergo modifications due to traversing paths along zigzagging or meandering trajectories. Given that the Earth is spheroidal in shape, aircraft operators are able to chart the most direct path between two places, enabling them to reach their destinations quicker than if they had chosen to cut through the totality of the United States, as is sometimes the case when traveling from California to China. Flat Earthers make such silly claims as denying the existence of gravity, asserting that all magnetic objects on the Earth should be attracted to the Sun or Moon, or flight distance being hinged on the path traveled. The Earth's magnetic energy is insufficient to influence the Sun or Moon's movements, and the Sun and Moon possess their magnetic force, raising further questions about how the Earth can pull them without being crushed in between. Gravity, on the other hand, is the result of the mass of an object creating force, which other surrounding objects act on consistent with their objective mass and force. Such an understanding serves as the basis for the creation of planes, kites, and drones, and also sheds light on how insects and birds fly. It is desirable to conduct further research on these topics and avoid falling prey to flat earther claims. Chapter 2, Did Males or Females Precede Each Other? Following the cosmic expansion of the divine essence, i.e. the Big Bang, Earth remained in a state of thermal turbulence and instability. However, after a cooling phase, life started to take shape. It is believed that mankind constitutes a subtype of tetrapod sexual reproductive organisms. Despite the imperfections of evolution, it is generally agreed that life on Earth radiated out from a common root that originated from aquatic organisms that transitioned onto land. The tetrapods could be considered as the remnants of those creatures. Humans ultimately evolved allegedly by many different scholars from Sahelanthropus, a creature with an androgynous morphology that emerged from the tetrapods. Thus, Adam, as the first human created, is distinctly different from any other animal on Earth, likely due to divine intervention. Upon the formation of Adam from dust, God infused intangible qualities into his creation that did not exist in any other species. Eve, for example, was created from one of Adam's ribs via parthenogenesis. As Adam was evolving from an asexual state, he physically transmuted into a different form as a divine feminine and masculine balance was restored. Evidence of this consists of male nipples, which were functional in a different evolutionary state. Eve's biological structure served as a precursor to the emergence of new human species such as Cain, Abel, Seth, and those who followed. Billions, or even trillions, of years ago, the first cell appeared in the primordial water, infused with the Spirit of God. From this single cell, replication led to the emergence of multicellular creatures. The first single-celled organism appeared in the planet's primordial waters, and this cell was imbued with God's essence. Through cell duplication, various life forms emerged, and as these cells acquired the capability to engage in sexual reproduction, newer, more complex genetic variations were created. Mutations over time led to a diversity of species in the water, as scripted in Genesis 1 verse 20, where water was instructed to birth a multitude of living creatures, traversing both the aquatic and aerial spaces. Over time, these aquatic creatures ventured into the land, spawning new species, as alluded to in Genesis 1 verse 24, where the earth itself produced various types of living beings. One such species was the primitive fish, Millocunmingia, which adapted to feed on earth's dust and evolved into four-limbed tetrapods like the Ichthyostega. Over the ages, our ancestors, once lizards, had to adapt to the environment to survive, and learn to exploit it by feeding on flying and crawling insects. After millions of years, we evolved into the Ectinian. Cynodonts of the prehistoric Jurassic era, which eventually engendered a mammal-like species during the age of the dinosaurs, in order to avoid extinction, our ancient ancestors, which evolved into rat-like, smart mammals known as the batodongs, had to adapt to their rapidly changing environment. Their agility and increasing weight eventually allowed them to evolve into the first humanoid-type mammals. Through a series of evolutionary transformations, including the emergence of primate species such as Purgatorius and Altiatlasius, God ultimately evolved us into Ramapithecus before creating Adam. These evolutionary ancestors were neither male nor female, but rather androgynous in nature. However, the existence of XY chromosomes indicates that males have always existed. Rather than debating the order of man's and woman's appearance on Earth, it is better to simply appreciate God's diverse creations. When men and women come together, it creates a unique and beautiful union that transcends any intellectual debate of which came first. Focusing on past events which we may never fully comprehend will only hinder our ability to work towards a brighter future. It is important to recognize that men, without the Y chromosome, could not exist. Women do not possess the Y chromosome to bestow upon their offspring. Both the X and Y chromosomes are potent and distinct components of the genetic code that have always existed. There are those who assert that the black woman is God, when in actuality we are all divine creations, children of the Most High God. Galatians 3 verse 28 declares that there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female because we are all united in Christ. Acknowledging that mankind predates Adam, he was nothing more than terrestrial debris. Debris, in this context, being a substance from the earth. The debris that originally existed in the water eventually coalesced with the earthly debris. God then took that debris, also known as primates, and fashioned what we recognize as Adam. This process by which God created man has been referred to as evolution by scientists. While Charles Darwin's theory of evolution is not entirely erroneous, it is certainly not wholly correct. Further inquiry into the intricacies of genetics and evolution is required for a thorough understanding. Consequently, mankind was derived from a male and female piece of evolved debris from the earth. Woman, extracted from Adam via God's use of parthenogenesis, developed asexually while Adam retained animalistic features that originated from the male and female, XXY untampered, evolved piece of debris. While the theory suggests that men were the first to be created, the precise evolutionary process remains uncertain, but I must say this is the closest understanding with bias. Chapter 3, The Holy Scriptures. The very first book to be designated as the Bible was the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation ordered to be made by Ptolemy II Philadelphus. It is believed that his father plundered the ancient writings from all the original temples in Alexandria. Although there is some dispute among scholars as to what truly occurred, this information is documented in the letter of Aristides and recognized by the Holy Spirit, which provides understanding through the scriptures. The people who migrated from ancient Sumer brought ahead knowledge passed down from previous generations that dated back to times prior to the flood. The people of Assyria descended from Noah, and these writings made their way to ancient Kemet in various scrolls, along with other texts from accounts following the liberation from slavery. The term slavery is Egypt, which is why the Bible speaks of Israelites being taken into Egypt. Egypt stems from the Hebrew term Mitzrayim, H-47-14 in the Hebrew concordance, which means bondage. While occurrences in the Bible took place in Kemet, what the scriptures say about Egypt does not always align with ancient Kemet. Before the Greek translation, the Bible consisted of many books and was not yet compiled into a single book. Ptolemy compensated 72 Greek-speaking Jewish individuals to translate the language of the stolen texts. Afterward, many books were added to and translated from the script. This book was used as the basis for the Ethiopian Bible, which was later translated into Amharic. In 1604, King James assembled 50 professional writers to translate an English edition, which became the first complete English Bible made available for mass printing. It allowed widespread dissemination of the Holy Scriptures and offered a response to the Catholic Church, which opposed expanding access to the Bible. In 325 AD, Constantine established the Nicene Creed, which restricted which books of the Bible were to be acknowledged, resulting in the formation of a widely accepted canon. Constantine established the Nicene Creed, which prescribed a limited selection of respected books of the Bible, and resulted in teaching specific doctrines, including the veneration of Jesus as the Most High God. This prevented potential messiahs from arising on account of their human qualities, which Jesus himself was born with. Additionally, the doctrine of the Trinity was introduced, ignoring the balance of the masculine and feminine aspects of God's image, as stated in Genesis 1 verse 26. Furthermore, the doctrine resulted in the name of God appearing to be Jesus, when in reality, Jesus himself stated in John 5 verse 43 that he comes in the name of his Father. This means that whatever name people were calling him was not the true name he came in. However, all translations today agree with each other when interpreted correctly. The doctrine of the Trinity has removed the possibility for mankind to follow Jesus' teachings, which proclaim that we have within us the power to be like him and to be one with the Most High God, by loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. One grave misunderstanding is due to the letter J being erroneously added as a separate sound than the letter I by John Giorgio Trissino, which resulted in the name Jesus from the original Jesus. The real name Jesus was named after the prophecy in Isaiah 7 verse 14, which was fulfilled in Matthew 1 verse 23. One of the many reasons people misinterpret the Bible is due to what they are told. For example, people have been wrongly informed that the Bible was used to enslave black people. That is a completely ignorant comment, since slavery was in existence before the writing of the Bible by Moses, who himself liberated the slaves. The Bible serves to demonstrate God's character and the love and mercy that he extends to humanity. The Bible serves as a guide to correct human behavior, which can lead to destruction. Leviticus 18 verse 28 explains why God has given us his law. If we choose to disobey the law, we will perish just like the nations before us, who did all the things that they were told not to do. It's important to recognize that slavery in the Bible is different from what black people went through. Deuteronomy 15 verse 11 notes that poor people will always exist and that they should be allowed to serve, and after 6 years, they must be released with resources. Ephesians 6 verse 5 instructs slaves to obey their masters as they would obey God. It does not encourage the worship of slave masters, but rather, it emphasizes respect for one another. Ephesians 6 verse 9 also reminds slave masters to treat their slaves with honor and dignity, since they are accountable to the Most High God, who is not biased toward any individual. Additionally, Exodus 21 verse 20 states that if a slave is struck by his master and dies, the owner shall be punished. Being a slave owner is a choice, but it does not mean that a person should mistreat their slaves. As human beings, we have a free will, which often leads to sinful actions. Just because the Bible provides guidelines regarding a particular action doesn't mean that action is acceptable in the eyes of God. For instance, God never intended us to consume animals, as stated in Genesis 1 verse 29, we should eat alkaline food, but after the fall, humans began consuming animals. To deal with this situation, God provided guidelines on what animals are clean or unclean since people had already begun eating them. It's important to remember that slavery is a personal choice for both servant and master. Some might observe that death or poverty is worse than serving for 6 years as a servant. Ultimately, the direct biblical statement in Exodus 21 verse 16 defines that one should not kidnap and enslave another person. Exodus 21 verse 16 shows that the Bible unequivocally prohibits the stealing and enslavement of another human being. Unfortunately, there are those who misinterpret the Bible by claiming that it condones rape. They use Deuteronomy 22 verse 28 as their basis, which states that if a man manipulates an unmarried woman into sleeping with him, he must pay the father and not be allowed to leave her for the rest of his life. However, the Hebrew word tafaz, H8610 equals tafaz, which was translated to lay hold in English, actually means to manipulate. Therefore, this verse is intended to protect women from being exploited sexually rather than to condone rape. Deuteronomy 22 verse 25 depicts how rape is not acceptable, and those who perpetrate it will be punished by death. In verse 26 of Deuteronomy 22, the Bible equates rape against a woman with the killing of a man. People must not believe these lies about the Bible and should study it instead. It is important to understand the war mind of God, which is described in Exodus 15 verse 3 as that of a warrior. Nevertheless, the essential point is that violence has its place in specific situations. When evil attacks good, they must fight to defend themselves, as highlighted by Ecclesiastes 3 verse 3. Humans have chosen to side with evil and remain silent when evil strikes, but when God retaliates, people become vocal about the morality of violence. In Numbers 31:17, the Israelites are ordered to eliminate a nation of people that followed witchcraft and practiced evil against God's people. A careful study of the Bible clearly reveals that God maintains perfect balance. If U.S. citizens were attacked, it would be foolish to not defend themselves. Hence, as Mark 3 verse 27 reveals, it is impossible to defeat a strong man unless he is bound first, indicating that at some point you have to fight. Chapter 4, Mental Well-Being. The complexities surrounding the realm of mental well-being are often underestimated. It is typical for individuals to disregard or overlook possible symptoms. Attaining peace of mind involves correct thought processing, one that adheres to the tenets of universal harmony. Misinformation, however, is a common cause of mental distress, which disrupts this harmony. Unfortunate as it may seem, most individuals remain unaware of this dynamic. Consequently, they suffer in silence. Pain, for instance, is a physical manifestation of confusion and misunderstanding within the mind. It is a common misconception that people should simply suck it up. To attain mental clarity, individuals should gain a complete understanding of their pain and eliminate its source altogether. Amid situations of confusion, one must learn to exercise discernment. This can be achieved by observing people's reactions and psychology. In this regard, the Book of Proverbs offers a helpful guide for individuals. With experience, individuals can attain greater wisdom. This wisdom consequently strengthens and brings discipline. Such discipline is necessary to maintain a healthy thought life, one that aligns with godly principles. Unfortunately, the world is awash with misinformation, often orchestrated by Satan himself. It is increasingly challenging to avoid negative thoughts. Mental health issues, such as narcissistic personality disorder, NPD, can be troubling. However, it is important to note that NPD is not always a deplorable trait. Self-love and confidence are crucial attributes that leaders and messengers should undoubtedly possess. A balanced psyche is vital in maintaining healthy narcissistic tendencies without resulting in shame. In cases where an individual cannot meet these standards, NPD is often the outcome, which can impede their ability to supply the actions and tools required to foster growth and personal development. To overcome narcissistic personality disorder, one must take full accountability for one's actions and flaws. Life can often be unpredictable, and one must learn to accept both the good and the bad without losing balance. Refusing to accept the bad often leads to failure in the future. Understanding the concept of love is critical in attaining mental well-being, as it enables healing of the mind. Following the seven concepts from Seal 7 Chapter 4 can help individuals practice love, patience, understanding, care, correction, long-suffering, loyalty, and faithfulness. 1. Patience. Discerning what a person might need from you in that moment. Suppressing anger and recognizing one's emotions. Refraining from interrupting someone while speaking. Waiting without complaints. 2. Understanding. Paying attention to details and observing analytically. Comprehending what is being spoken and recognizing issues. Empathizing with others. 3. Care. Learning a person's likes and dislikes, happiness and sadness. Demonstrating appreciation and adoration. Being in the moment with that person and showing concern. 4. Correction. Listening to others and recognizing right from wrong. Expressing one's feelings without offending. Teaching without sounding condescending. Correcting with love. Offering solutions rather than just stating someone is wrong. 5. Long-suffering. Acknowledging that every day presents a new challenge. Expressing one's emotions before the day ends. Living in the moment and cherishing it. Loving what is present today without fear of what may come tomorrow. 6. Loyalty. Staying true to one's word and following through with commitments. Consistency in loyalty. Exercising unwavering loyalty until the end. Overcoming lust and desires in the name of loyalty. Giving up is not an option and bears no reward. Disloyalty includes exposing oneself to harmful energies that have the potential to harm the relationship or friendship. 7. Faithfulness. Having faith that the person with whom you enter into a relationship can overcome all obstacles. Holding on to hope and faith in the person you love. Trusting without the need to see. Refusing to give up during hard times. These seven concepts of love are the cure to various mental health issues, including narcissistic personality disorder. It is imperative to teach these principles worldwide. One cannot truly love without understanding what love is. As God is not the author of confusion, love cannot have two different meanings. Love can only be one, and that love is God. Take the time to love yourself by following these principles. Bipolar disorder is a mental health condition resulting from depression. Depression can be caused by traumatic experiences initiated by individuals who are possessed by Satan, thereby altering the victim's perception of life. Such situations may lead to one expecting the worst, thereby causing one to bury the experience in a bid to move on. Unfortunately, the trauma may resurface when reminded of the experience, leading to innocent individuals suffering from other people's actions. Healthy relationships demand that individuals avoid trauma bonding, which occurs when people only get along because they can avoid facing the trauma with someone else who is also scared to confront it. This only results in prolonging the healing process and eventual separation from people needed. More severe instances of mental health disorders, such as schizophrenia, stem from unattended mental health challenges, aggravated by drug abuse and neglect of cognitive faculties. Such a condition is perilous and can only be treated with genuine love. A manifestation of insincere disposition may abruptly trigger the patient in question. Mental health is an authentic phenomenon, not a theoretical plot. The provision of labels for actual comprehension of what is precisely a lack of self-care and understanding of divinity is the actual conspiracy. Dividing the same condition into various illnesses only results in bewilderment. Regrettably, mental health research suffers from misinterpretation of how our brain operates, thereby misconstruing each fallacious understanding as a distinct illness, though they all signify the same predicament. Rectifying this situation will aid in addressing the primary causes of the surge in mental health issues. Do not use this book to self-diagnose and see a professional mental health expert for further evaluation. Chapter 5: The Existence of Extraterrestrial Life. When God decided to expand God's self by 15%, the creation of numerous galaxies ensued. An explosion resulted in the dispersal of stars, planets, and debris all over the omniverse, which were then arranged in a divine order. Each galaxy consists of numerous suns and forms its own solar system. Life began to flourish on some planets when the suns exploded via supernova. Several other universes and galaxies have planets that are in close proximity to their respective suns, producing an atmosphere like that of Earth capable of supporting life. However, it is uncertain if this life form has progressed into a humanoid. Nonetheless, the probability of intelligent life existing on other planets in various solar systems is highly likely. Certain individuals claim that life on Earth commenced due to a meteorite that crash-landed, imparting minerals that catalyzed the creation of life as we know it. With that in mind, the possibility of a similar event happening in other solar systems is quite promising. Supposedly, a group of aliens traveled from a planet designated X, with an exceptional orbit around this solar system that stretches to the farthest region of space. These deities landed on Earth to search for resources required to stabilize their atmosphere. The likelihood that they did not return is perplexing. It is untrue that these deities created humanity. It is theorized that these deities were the minerals from the meteorite that landed on Earth. The meteorite, according to some, was the spaceship in question. This context suggests that God possesses a system to guide meteorites to Earth, thereby providing these deity-like beings, minerals, that facilitate the evolution and development of life on Earth. The theory of another intelligent alien race creating human beings is currently circulating. Though conceivably possible, it lacks irrefutable evidence to support or counter it. In this scenario, it is plausible that God devised a mechanism to allow the meteorite to collide with Earth and introduce these divine beings, minerals, to support the evolution of life on our planet. Another theory gaining popularity is the possibility of another extraterrestrial race creating humanity. Though improbable, with the evolution and development of intelligent beings that possess the capability to travel across different planets and return, the notion that something akin to this occurred cannot be dismissed entirely. Regardless, these beings, too, would have been created by the Almighty God. Conspiracy theories concerning aliens exist to detract attention from evidence of God, which is fruitless. A theory suggests that we are all individuals who came from specific stars and formed physical characteristics. The supernova, being the primary cause of life, implies that it is probable to take this stance. We can perceive how God employed the explosion of stars at the ideal time to facilitate the emergence of life. At that moment, we transformed into minerals. The laws of nature and the planet's elements instigated by God brought us into existence. The ancient people would ascribe divinity to different facets of God. This explains why people think there are several gods when, in actuality, there is only one God. God created everything in the omniverse, inclusive of any aliens that may exist. This same process that humanity experienced on Earth must have been endured by every living being aside from God. God is the process itself. Supposing intelligent life inhabiting other planets is entirely possible with access to water production capability. Aliens may appear similar to us, and varying mineral structures on different planets would result in distinguished physical characteristics. These beings would develop limbs based on their specific planet's environmental requirements. We can observe how God capitalized on the explosion of stars at the perfect moment to give rise to life, observed when we transformed into minerals. The natural laws and elements of Earth's environment, created by God, were used to bring us into existence. Ancient societies would ascribe divinity to various aspects of God, which is why people assume the existence of multiple gods when, in reality, the Almighty God created everything in the omniverse, including any potential aliens. Every living being, aside from God, underwent the same process of evolution that humans experienced on Earth. In this sense, God is the process that facilitates the emergence of life forms. Evolution is the fundamental principle by which alien life formed just like human beings on Earth. God is not restricted to any planet, thereby providing strong reasons to believe intelligent life exists on other planets capable of sustaining liquid water. These extraterrestrial beings could bear a striking resemblance to humans, and their physical makeup is influenced by the mineral content of their respective planets' environments. For instance, they could appear gray if their molders are gray minerals. Aliens would develop similar limbs as humans based on their environmental needs. There exist various alien races that people believe to be true, though most of these are lies. What's factual is that evolution is likely still transpiring, and new humanoid species could undergo their initial development phase, emerging from reptiles or other creatures, making them appear as what society refers to as aliens. Nevertheless, one must practice discernment and not believe everything seen or heard. Chapter 6, The Illuminati. The Perfectibilists, also known as the Illuminati, was a society that Johann Adam Weishaupt allegedly established in 1776. The following year, he purportedly joined the Freemasons, using their influence to recruit members. Supposedly, Weishaupt arranged a hierarchy that placed him as an enlightened Minerval, whereas the regular Minervals were beneath him, and the novice members held the lowest rank. The enlightened Minervals believed they were a conduit for the spirit of a fictitious Greek goddess of wisdom. Weishaupt's compatriot, Baron Adolf Negg, a high-ranking Freemason, allegedly assisted him in growing the society. Weishaupt restructured the organization and created a new order, which the nursery level comprised of three branches: novice, Minervals, and enlightened Minervals. The masonry level contained the symbolic branch, which consisted of 4 degrees, apprentice, fellow craft, master mason, and Illuminatus Major / Scottish Mason. The Scottish branch's solitary component was the Illuminatus Dirigens / Scottish Knight, while the Mysteries branch encompassed 2 sub-branches, lesser and greater. The lesser sub-branch was composed of the prince and priest degrees, while the greater sub-branch contained the magus and king degrees. This structure mimicked the Catholic Church's arrangement, which was purportedly influenced by Satan. This blueprint is used in every influential environment, and Satan requires real secret societies that worship idols among his followers to execute this government system, with the Catholic Church at the helm. To overcome this scheme, God's lost children must unite and shine a light on the darkness that Satan is using to keep people ignorant. Satan has exploited music as a golden tool in the past, and now, social media serves as the principal outlet. Merely by flicking a thumb, evil can saturate this generation. Nevertheless, this generation is ready to cleanse the world of this depravity, and the truth shall succeed. Satan's most buried secret is that he will perish if everyone embodies love, which is God. However, people have used the Illuminati as a tactic to disregard the evil that their entertainment propagates and creates. The Illuminati itself means the enlightened ones, but false enlightenment is not worth pursuing. The Catholic Church's past tends to be controversial. Upon thorough investigation, it is evident that their foundation is fortified with falsehoods and war. God is not the instigator of confusion, and, in this scenario, we must make the truth known and challenge Satan's army. As Ephesians 6 verse 12 proclaims, we are at war with a far more significant power than what our eyes can discern. Many individuals are not aware of the extent of their wickedness, and they unwittingly act as conduits for devils. This is neither a laughing matter nor a conspiracy, it is factual. Chapter 7, Does God Exist? The answer to this inquiry is rhetorical, as it is an undeniable fact that God exists. Any rational individual on earth believes in a source of creation, which by definition and understanding, is none other than God. We must shed our emotional attachments to falsehoods and embrace truth as the catalyst for growth and learning. God represents the perfect balance between masculine and feminine forces, and is the epitome of love. As per 1 John 4 verse 7, we are of God if we embody love, and God, being love, embodies us. From chapter 4, we know that love is the essence of life. God also represents the mind or the word, with logos, from the Greek concordance John 1 verse 1, signifying the concept of the mind. God is the original precept or thought, with his existence being perpetual. Everything we see today is a consequence of just the right amount of power which God meticulously employed to create the world and all that exists within it. Evidence of God's existence is ubiquitous and undeniable. Those individuals who deny the existence of God are mostly those who engage in unethical activities and require justification for their erroneous decisions. Moreover, these people are mostly seeking company for their misery and pain, attempting to distract themselves from impending consequences by turning away from the laws of God. This never works in their favor, as success does not come with material wealth, power, respect, or beauty, it only comes with the embodiment of love. Jesus taught us to love one another as ourselves and to embody the qualities of God, achieving perfection in all our endeavors. If we wish to be like God and embody His qualities, we must practice patience, care, understanding, correction, long-suffering, loyalty, and faithfulness in conjunction. Mankind cannot accurately predict the future, and can merely attempt to divine God's will. Romans 8 verse 28 teaches us that when we love God, who embodies the essence of love, and have a purpose in our lives, we can be assured that ultimately all things will work together for our good. God has a divine plan in place that will ultimately benefit those who embody love, and enable them to become kings over the earth, even as God is in heaven. God has bestowed upon us the mantle of rulership on earth, by calling us in His name. God's name is synonymous with love, and Jesus referred to God as Father, Pater G3962 in the Greek Concordance, meaning source or both parents, indicating that God is the all-encompassing source of all life, and the balance between positive and negative energy. While Satan represents an obstacle to our ultimate goal of achieving the perfection of love, it is through this strife that we can prove our steadfast love for God. As an expression of His boundless love, God has given us dominion over the earth, to serve as rulers in His kingdom.